Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 10th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. You know, we got like 24 hours till Masters starts. It's gonna
be
great. Maybe.
Weather prognosis looks dicey, dodgy for the start on Thursday with 40 to 45 mile an hour gusts from 9 to 2 and a 90% chance of rain and thunderstorms. We'll see. In those conditions, I suspect a fresh pair of Brooks and or Hokas wouldn't hold up well.
Hokas.
Let's do elderly footwear corner. Who wouldn't start off their Masters preview podcast with an elderly footwear corner? You know, we had Rory, Tiger. We hear there's some dispute from folks who observed Vijay up close today that he's gone from Hokas to Brooks.
Maybe switching from Monday to Tuesday.
Is he just cycling through is he going to be a New Balance and On Running? And I all think, the varieties of sort of...
I think he's testing treads, you know, seeing which tread matches up best with the ryegrass. I think he still lives in the Jacksonville area, right?
I think he's up by Ponte Vedra, yeah.
Yeah, so he lives in the Jacksonville area. He's been hitting off Bermuda all winter long.
What plays?
What does the ryegrass dynamic bring?
Maybe more slope?
Maybe he wore the Hokas last year and thought, hey... this is what held me back, is that maybe these weren't the right shoes for the ryegrass.
It's unbelievable. I call it elderly footwear corner because I saw Freddie's wearing Asics. I've never seen Asics out on the golf course, and a professional golfer. But Freddie's in Asics. VJ's in Brooks and or Hokas. Very excited about elderly footwear corner for the rest of this.
Can we keep the shoes shoe discussion going?
What? Yeah.
You know, this year I got a pair of Echoes.
Great shoes.
And the reason I got them, I was going through the shoes and I came across the EVR, the Eric Van Rooyen signature shoe. And I said, how could I not get the Eric Van Rooyen signature shoe? And part of the reason I got it was when I go to the tournaments and Eric Van Rooyen's in the field, I could feel a bond with EVR.
And what happened?
He's not wearing the signature shoes. He's not wearing the Air EVRs. It makes me wonder about, you know, but
it's
he's
like
wearing
LeBron
the,
wearing Kevin Durant's or something.
He's wearing the shoes you got.
The LT one or two. Yeah. Great looking shoe, I got to say.
I can't believe I loved EVR it. Has a signature shoe and he's moved on from it. Wouldn't you, if you were EVR, be wearing your signature shoe everywhere?
Yeah, you're trying
like,
to.
Like, yeah, this is my shoe.
You got to preach the gospel. Yeah. There, got to push sales. AREVR.
I'd be wearing them out to dinner.
They might
be like, yeah, do you have your own shoe? Because I have my own shoe.
While we're on the subject of branding, this is a great way to start. I had a great chat with our friend Shane Bacon today. And he suggested to me that Jason Day in his Malbon gear has the most incongruous duo of sponsors because he's got DeWalt and Malbon. And he suggests anyone who owns an item or wears Malbon cannot possibly even own a single solitary DeWalt tool. And he challenged me on the spot at lunch to come up with a more wild, incongruous pairing. And I, off the top of my head, I said Minwoo Lee, who's now Lululemon, getting sponsored by like Wendy's, then having a Wendy's like Baconator hat with the Lululemon. He suggested Rory or Boo Weekly and Peloton, something like that. But that is a bad one. DeWalt and Malbon is just not fine on their own.
I got one for you.
What?
What about like Thorbjørn Olesen and TSA or something like that?
Oh, God.
Or clear.
Clear. Clear. That'd be tough. Or, you know, yeah, any airline, really. Delta, yeah. American, you know. I think they'd have the, you know, the flight attendant union object to that one.
I think Brian Harman and, like, some, like, vegan food would be a good one, too. You know,
who's the old piss bear with this week?
Oh, it's a great tea time.
Oh, we're gonna do tea times.
I don't
want
to jump into my favorite tea time. Yeah, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. I marked it right here. It is Bryson DeChambeau, Thorbjørn Olesen, and Gary Woodland together. Quite an eclectic pairing. You got the feel good story of Gary Woodland playing this after
the less feel good story,
the brain tumor.
The piss bear.
You got Piss Bear, the redemption tour of Piss Bear. And then you got the not-so-thick boy.
The less-than-thick boy. Bryson will get to him, quotable as well. But yeah, Piss Bear, that's a good, you know, branding.
That's my favorite pairing. That's the pairing to watch. I was disappointed that didn't get the featured pairing tap.
Yeah, that should have been proposed. Hey, we had a great day out there. The whole, it, you know, Tuesday's become sort of press conference day. They run them through. I mean, it's just another. We started with Victor, who I thought was in. Everybody, it's pretty interesting. Some more than others. We started with Victor. We went Tiger, Rory, you know, Spieth, Wyndham, Ludwig. I'm just naming Spieth. And then we finished with Brooks and Scotty were the last two. So we were in there. A lot of good quotes.
Do you count Rory's as a press conference?
I count it as a...
Was it just a stop-by? A drop-in? I think it was more of a drop-in than a press conference.
It was a conspiracy to jam the hardworking press of the golf media, which honestly yielded some of my favorite content of the day. I told someone this, a couple people... So this was, there was...
Okay, so just, I want to paint the picture.
Yeah.
They set these times. And for the most part...
You start them right on time.
They start right on time.
They're on time.
And if anything, they might start 3 to 4 to 5 minutes late. Maybe
at
it's
most.
Like, it's a player's got to get transported there. So these things start, they run... Like the clock.
It's the Masters.
It's not like the U.S. Open. Not like the PGA where players will just be like,
no,
oh,
I'm going at five now or three. And no, wait, I'm just going to do it over here. And maybe I'm not going to do it at all. It's like if you are published as being set for 12:30, you are there and you start at 12:30.
Yes. And there's a format to the whole interview.
Building. Roy McIlroy is on his way to the interview room. That's about a 10-minute warning, I would say, before he's talking. Roy McIlroy is in the interview room. That's about a 3 to 4 minute warning before he starts talking. We were eating lunch. We started going down. We're just going to go down to the interview room. We got Roy McIlroy is on his way to the interview room. 1, 2, 3, 4, like count to, you know, 30.
I thought I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I didn't have anything else going on. I grabbed my stuff. The announcement was made and I am going down the stairs to get to the room. I'm 10 stairs down the 30 or whatever stairs. Stairs down.
I'm going in. Roy McIlroy is on his way. Then we go, Roy McIlroy is in the interview room. About 30 seconds apart. Usually that's a 5-minute break. It's all these warnings. Roy McIlroy, they sit down. So like something fuzzy's going on here. It's also not close to 12:30. Before 12:30.
I think it was 12:23.
He quick played, you know, walking ahead like Toasty or Rory Sabatini. So he comes in.
You know what this is?
What?
You know what this is? This is an experienced Ryder Cup player.
So he comes in. He sits down. They have a moderator. And moderator goes, all right, let's do questions right away. Like, the room is 10% full because they just announced him. It's not 12:30 yet. And all of a sudden. So my favorite content of the day is they just start going. And 90% of press corps still got to come ambling in. And you got all the sports writers sort of like bumbling and stumbling down, like hustling, but, you know, be quick, don't hurry, because, you know, they're not like superior athletes, just hustling to their seats. They quick played the press. They don't do an intro like, we welcome Roy McIlroy back. He's made 12 Masters starts. you know, Rory, let's talk a little bit about, like, they talk for a little bit. They didn't do any of that. It's like, questions, let's go. And they give you no warning. So there was very little warning of when he would start. There was no intro. There was no warning of two or three more questions left. It was an abrupt cut. They finished at 12:33. I put the timestamp down. It was a very, let's just put it, conspicuous operation here with both Rory and you know, I think he's obligated to do it when they say they'd like you. I don't know why Phil doesn't have to do one. He's a three-time Masters champion.
Like, I guess, like, you look at the list, and it's because he's the number two ranked player in the world, right?
Sure.
And there's the Grand Slam storyline that's been, you know, going for years now.
Yep.
Is the reason he has to do it. You know, I think, like, one of the things that if you wanted to pull on, this is similar to what he did before LACC and Liverpool, like very short press conferences before, like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Remember Oakhill when he wouldn't answer people's, I mean, he's like, yes, no, yes. He did the one word answers for Oakhill.
Uh-huh.
So he does, he mixes it up. He answers enough questions. He goes in front of the press enough. Like, that's not less my issue. It's more like, the tactics amused me. The, like, boom, 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 and all the media sort of rumbling down to their seats, and it was over, and he was out. A lot of people saying this is the new approach. This is Rory trying.
Well, it's not a new. It's the same approach he did at LACC.
Pre-Masters approach. It's the sort of the revolving door of do I make it the biggest event in the world? Do I make it just another four-day tournament like it was the week prior and the week after? You know, people have kind of pounced on this sort of phenomenon with Rory and his pre-Masters, or how he holds the Masters up or doesn't.
I mean,
and
last
year, what does he do? Does he play a million practice rounds? Does he not get in until the last second? So this year, it seems to be get in probably about as late as he possibly could, do his press conference, and, like, as fast as he possibly could, with the help, I would say, of the announcements, and they slipped him by. They slipped us by us. So, and this is his approach. He's just going. His little time, his little openness. You would say last year what? Yeah. He was very
last year
descriptive, and
yeah, he was talking about Bob Rotella. He was talking about Bob Rotella. He was very open. He sat up there for seemingly like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That being said, I thought he had a very, very spot on description. Somebody asked him about, like, how the course has changed over the years since he started coming here.
Uh-huh.
And he used the word sharp.
The edges
have gotten really sharp.
Sharper.
And that really describes well what's happened. Like, if you think about how the right side of 11th green has changed, that is just a sharp drop off to the right of 11 green. The new change is the 6. What I would describe the back part of 6 green now is, like, it went from being like, if you can hit the shot and get it back there, there's a little relief if you just miss a little bit. Now, it's not a great spot to miss. It's long right. It's funny. We did a whole ranking our favorite holes at Augusta National that comes out. Me and Gary did it on Sunday, and I hadn't seen 6 yet. And I said, I love this because so little's changed about this hole. And now there's, like, a new little, like, cliff off the back of it.
Not necessarily little, right?
I wouldn't say it's elegantly, smoothly shaped like a line you might find in a sand dune. It is sharp. It is a tournament-oriented change, and definitely a change that goes against the ideals of how Alistair McKenzie wrote about how features should appear. You know, we talk about camouflage a lot with Dr. McKenzie. He was McKenzie. I think with, like, this latest regime of Augusta National, they love to glorify Alistair McKenzie.
Yeah.
They love to talk about it. This change is drastically a huge departure from anything that Alistair McKenzie would write about how a feature should blend in with its existing environment. And I'm sorry to get nerdy here, but
good.
this thing, it just looks so unnatural. And I know a lot of people won't care about it. I think that it, I don't really agree with like the whole idea of it. I think what it's going to do is actually make the hole a lot less interesting. There's a little bit more space up there. They could have gotten more space up there.
Larger plateau kind of before the fall.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger up there, but they could have done that by just mowing out the right a little bit, like make a little bit more green over on the right. But anyways, because this back area is so undesirable, I think what we're going to see is less people take on the top right pin. More people say, you know what? I'm just going to two putt up there, because they took it on because it was like, okay, if I end up a little long, that's better than being a little short. Mm-hmm. But like, if you go a little more than a little long, then you were in a really bad place.
It's not good.
So what they've done is kind of create where there were, I think like when I think about what I love the most about Augusta National, and what I love most about the really standout holes at Augusta National is there's this varying degree. It's not black or white. It goes from white to black, and it's a varying shades of the color change throughout as you move from one spot to the other spot. And I think what they've done with this is they've just made it. It's really described well by Rory by the word sharp. What they're doing is making like very sharp color changes. Like, this is good, this is bad.
I think Rory noted this, but Spieth called it out. I think it was last year, maybe the year prior, the sharp change at 3, right? Like some of the fall over, like Spieth was pretty critical without being like, you know, aggressive about it in his press conference. That was another hole that he talked about as getting sharper today, right? Rory 3, that's a similar kind of thing. I don't know. It's an interesting the balance that they obviously constantly walk for the tournament.
Yeah, it seems like there's more trees on the left side of 15. I disagree with this because, you know, when those trees that cut in on the left side of 15.
Feels like it comes out a little farther even. Maybe I'm wrong there.
What's amazing about those, what it used to be, is like somebody hits it over there and you're immediately like, there was suspense that was built because it was like, oh, is he going to have a window?
Yeah.
And then you get over there and you'd like, see the shot, you'd see the camera from behind. And then the next question would be, oh, are they going to take it on? Are they going to try and hit a shot through there? Now it feels like it's just a chip out.
It's a runner down the.
And we just taught it like this is the essence of Augusta is the gray. So I would love to see more things that embrace the idea of, you know, let's just see how it, you know, they hit it over there. It's not as good. If you hit it a little bit further, it's a little worse. You know, if you hit it over here, it's really good. And, you know, there's just these varying stages. Now it just feels some of the things, it seems like the ideology is kind of to make it subtly good, bad.
Augusta's the one way. Yeah, that's true. Augusta's the one place in the world that's under this microscope, right? We go there every year.
And they make changes every year.
Yes, they make changes every year. It looks good. I think this is a moving philosophy. Yes.
And I think a lot of the intentions around a lot of these ideas are good.
Yeah.
There are just some little things in the execution of them that I just wonder about.
It's in great shape right now. That's obviously lamentable about the Thursday forecast. I thought Victor was really cool in talking about his, like, where it is right now with the firmness. Of course, this has been an ongoing sort of narrative in recent years. Phil really came out with it, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Like, this place hasn't really been firm. It's not in the modern era, just whether that's weather related or whatever it is. It's not firm anymore like this. It's been firm really since Anwa. We started hearing about it. Every player talked about it. Victor, and you talk about six and these different areas, he's like, you got to hit it high enough to, so it, because it's so firm, so it lands in these very soft specific sections of green. So you want to be hitting these high irons, but it's also got to be this strong shot that's able to fight through winds to land, you know, to get in this small section. He's like, it's a really tricky dynamic of what flight is best and what you know, what kind of power in these wind, whatever wind may come, to land in these small sections. So he's like playing around with shots. Not that he's the model necessarily, but just listening to these guys have to articulate this golf nerd stuff. We don't get that
anywhere else, really.
Really, any other week.
And I think like what Victor said kind of highlights some of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
The good, players, bad thing. The player. No, well, it highlights some of the essence of Augusta National that I think sometimes is a little misunderstood. It's an approach play course. If you can really hit great approach shots, you get rewarded with birdies, right? But it also speaks to, it's a very challenging course and it's very hard to hit these spots, and you don't hit them often. You don't hit it into those tight pockets that often. So what becomes really, really important when you're hitting quality shots, but they aren't great shots? Lag putting, chipping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are little underrated skills about Augusta National. Lag putting, chipping are so vitally important along with that approach play, because those are the things that keep you going, make pars. You don't make silly bogeys when you're doing those things well. And I think like that's what part of what makes it a great test. And the other aspect of it, like why it's such a well-rounded test, is that you have space off the tee, but to get into places where you even have the opportunity to attack, you have to be very precise off the tee.
Yep. Just to round it out, with the greens a little firm, you definitely have to hit the high iron shots, be able to stop it into the small sections. But the thing is, this wind swirl out here, you want to hit lower shots into some of the greens because they're firm and they're bouncing too far. So it's the in-between shot where you can still hit it high and spin it and stop it, but they're still flying through the wind and into some of those sections. So he's
almost like a golf ball that spins more would be helpful.
Potentially. All right, so we had a full day. We got some great Victor unsubstantiated.
Should we get there?
No, let's. We had a great day.
You want to hold that back?
We got a great day. Do you have a sort of? We listened to different people talk. We heard maybe different scouting reports of, watching him hit it, and that didn't look good.
Well, I got a unsubstantiated Tiger shot 31 on Sunday. And what makes
it chipping and putting?
Yeah,
he didn't take a bag out.
This came from a well sourced individual that told me this.
Could have been.
And then when
day.
We pushed back,
yeah,
when I pushed back about the, he said this is just what I heard. The person that told me that wouldn't mess around, you know.
Who are you feeling better about and worse about after today? Whether it's just from talking to him, talking to other people, or listening to people talk at a press conference, you know, walking around here in a scuttlebutt, this, that, or other. Stock up, stock down. Is there anyone you're feeling a lot better about or encouraged by? And is there someone you're like, oh, maybe there's a little siren going off in the corner?
I guess I feel good about Scottie Scheffler. I'm going out on a limb.
Yeah. But there's just, all right. I heard a story yesterday, maybe not to feel great about Scottie Scheffler, but he comes into the press conference. Scottie was apparently on the practice putting green, puts the ball down, immediately misses six footers. Doesn't make one of them. Then he makes like two and people started clapping. He's the number one player in the world making a putt on the practice green from under 7 feet. And people started clapping for him. An astute golf mind of an observer said it was very awkward and uncomfortable getting patron cheers for a hold putt on the practice green. But apparently that was an alarming start to that drill or whatever practice session. But after today, you know, we know the putting could be a bugaboo from one day to the next, but he just sounds so, it's hard not to feel encouraged about just where he is. Whether you have the same approach to golf, a different approach to golf, different approach to life, it's hard not to listen to him talk like that guy has it figured out, who he is, who he wants to be, and how to play the best golf.
Yeah.
He was amazing to listen to, quite honestly.
He says that, golf doesn't define who he is.
Then asked what he would doing if he wasn't a golfer. Like said, you know, my whole life's golf. I love golf. I'm a golfer.
I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't playing golf.
I mean, yeah. He was, I think there was a distinction there between, definitely, yes. He's defined by, you know, his family and his faith and all that. But it was interesting to say, it doesn't define who I am, but it's my life after coming around the second time.
Do you want stock, down?
Yes.
I'm going to go with former world number one.
Oh, who could that be?
Matthew Pavon.
Down?
Down.
Why?
I'm going to tell you.
What was he doing?
I've witnessed a lot of, you know, there's actually one person who rivaled him in terms of size of entourage that I've ever seen at the Masters. And it was that that kid that won the Latin American maybe 2 years ago or a year ago.
Toto Gana?
No, not Toto Gana. It was the kid that was like, you know, their parents moved down there from America.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who had like
Aaron
20
Jarvis or
yeah,
something
Jarvis,
like that?
Yeah, Jarvis. Yeah. Who had like 20 people like parading around with him at all times? Pavon has like eight to 10 people.
Sizable.
With him. It's too many. I don't like the entourage. I don't like the big
It's his
big
first
group.
Masters. He's bringing out. You talked about this. I read a Pavon transcript. You talked about how they all got in the
like
car. Clown car and came down Magnolia Lane together. Mushed. Double buckled like my kids trying to fit into a sedan.
I don't like it. Pavon is stock down for me.
Can I say something? I don't want to take the air out of the balloon. Stock down is Tiger. Like, I'm sorry. Not that I was expecting him to say, I'm ready to kick ass. He's played one round. He did not sound like he's in very good health. He just sounds like it's the pain. It's one day's good, one day's bad.
Is he your cutthroat corner?
No.
Cutthroat corner?
No.
Hasn't made a cut. No. Brendan's cutthroat corner for the Masters, Tiger Woods, hasn't made a cut in 2024. Has only made one cut in 2023 and 2024, or two cuts in the last 2 years.
Cutthroat corner, Tiger Woods. I mean, what is he even in the OWGR? It's kind of ridiculous that he's in this field.
This is Cutthroat Corner Masters Edition, Tiger Woods. We did get somebody. We had an astute listener.
I put it right in my pocket. That one's coming out next
who
week.
Who gave Brendan just teed Brendan up for a future Cutthroat Corner. You know, the problem is that we've got this designated event after the Masters. There's no Cutthroat Corner for that.
We could
do DL3. He's probably in the field.
959th in the world is Tiger Woods right now. I don't know. There's a lot of questions about his health. Too many. Like, we got it. He's not in good. He's got a lot of injuries.
Pain.
It seems like his ankle's fine, but his knee and back still hurt. And he can't. It's like one day it's good, and one day it's not. I don't know. It just wasn't an uplifting press conference. It was impactful in a way. Talk about his love of golf and the opportunity to keep playing this tournament is very cherished, and that was really cool to hear. It just sounds like he's not in great health. So
can I ask
down.
You a question?
What
with us on Tiger here?
Yeah.
Do you think he makes the cut and sets that record?
I do.
It would be the 25th consecutive Masters cut. He would go out of being a co-holder of the record, and he would own the record himself.
Co-hold it with Freddie
yeah. and one other person. Okay. I apologize for not having this, but
fine.
He holds it with Freddie and another,
champion,
yeah,
like a Gary Player or somebody like that.
But so he would hold this record, and I do think like this could be the last record.
Yeah. I think he's like motivated by that kind of stuff, even though he's done everything he can in his career. I think he cares about that. I think he cares about making a 12 on 12 and then like not letting go of the rope and birdieing five of the last six holes or whatever. Like, yeah, I do think he makes the cut. I think that's part of the reason why he's even here. Like, I don't know
record.
If it's the opportunity, but I do think like, yeah, what 40% of why he's here might be like that little thing that he could achieve and accomplish. So
I mean,
I think he's
a guy that's got a million records.
Right.
And there aren't many left this could be the last one. Next question. If I was going to offer you a Phil versus Tiger prop bet, we'll go head to head. What do we want?
Game within the game.
Phil versus Tiger. Who are you taking?
And what's the weight? What's the bet?
Phil's just a ridiculous human being at this point.
How about this? Loser of the bet has to hang the gnome flag behind their podcast setup for the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year.
We'll pass it back and forth.
I think the loser has to put the gnome flag in their front yard. For the rest of the year. Just completely.
Do you think
in June there's just a gnome flag and Masters is 3 months old?
Do you think our wives will agree to this?
No. What? Yeah, no. You get home from Augusta, you get slapped back into reality real fast. And no gnome flag. You're not imposing any gnome flags in any situations. But yeah, we could do that. I'll let you go first. Who are you taking?
Oh, God.
It's a good question. It's not a... I mean, again...
Can I just say Phil's one other thing while we're here? While we're here with Phil on the docket?
Yeah.
I was watching Phil hit balls, or I was watching him tee off. And I just thought to myself, God, when we look back on, like, this period of time where some prominent players dressed up in these team uniforms like high flyers... Legion 13.
Fireballs.
Crushers. Like, and that's what they wore in the Masters. And, like, I just think about, like, whoever's doing this form of podcast in 20 years.
Yeah.
They're going to do, like, a flashback Friday and be like, so anyways, with this LIV Golf League.
Phil's in.
Phil Mickelson, this guy that won tons of majors, won 3 Masters. And he showed up in team gear, and it was this High Flyers logo that actually was just ripped off from Fallen Footwear.
He's too thin, Phil. God.
I mean, like, the historical aspect.
Yeah.
Kids are going to be on this YouTube page.
Yeah.
Watching old Masters, maybe in 30 years from now, and they're going to be like, "Wait, what? Why are there 4 guys in
Sergio
or, in team uniforms?"
Reeds and his
what
aces.
What are these team uniforms?
Pat Reeds and his aces stuff all over the place.
There are, like, little subplots. Like, there was, like, the time that Jack was playing with a bad ball. But there was no way that you would know that. I mean, Payne Stewart was dressed up in NFL
gear. Double Nike.
But it was a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. This is, like, insane when you think about it in a historical context.
Who's your game within the game? Who do you like? It's a good question.
I asked you. You can't turn the question around.
I'm going to take Tiger.
You can take Tiger.
I feel better about myself
God,
taking
I can't
Tiger,
believe,
even though he's
stocked
down. I
can't believe
down.
You put me in a position. I got to root for Phil.
You're all about Phil. You're going to be taking that gnome flag home with you. As he, you know, he's cruised the lawn, goes out and, say he goes out in 34. Then he plays Amen Corner in like 8 over, and that's bingo, bango, bongo. He's going home. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Do you think they invited Ernie to the Masters this year?
Oh, just to kind of have a badge and walk around? But do you remember that when he got crossed up?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They thought he
invited just
Well, I mean, that was kind of like a bait and switch
on
an all-time legend of the game.
I'm sure it was pretty clear. He might have been in a bottle of Ernie L's Vineyard or something at that point. He got confused on the invitation, but I... Yeah, stock up, stock down. One thing that is way up, is that SGS promo code bdratty.com gets you 30% off. SGS30 at bdratty.com gets you 30% off. They have supported us. We're doing a thing with them tomorrow. Really looking forward to connecting with some
Q&A.
Of our old friends.
A lot of people. Live show.
I'm seeing a lot of people out there wearing Dratty. I don't think it's you know, testament to their product. Even some media center press building. I'm seeing a lot of people in some Dratty stuff. And
you know what they're probably
trying
doing?
To look a little nicer. What?
They're using that promo code, SGS30.
They might be.
I guess,
you're 3 for 3 on your everyday vest.
We hung this out there on Sunday.
Yeah.
The everyday vest challenge. It's the everyday vest challenge. I'm 3 for 3. Nobody said anything, and that's because it's the everyday vest. It just looks good. Yeah. Nobody's going to question the everyday vest.
I mean, if you're wearing the same Fireballs uniform every day, that's going to be noticeable. Like, why aren't you changing your shirt? But everyday vest is 3 for 3. Dratty, like
30% off the everyday vest isn't nothing. It's like $60+.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
And I got good news for you.
What?
And I'm going to prove it this week. You could wear it every day.
Honestly, it's like 45, 50 in the morning, then it gets to 75 right now.
I'm thinking
I've been
about
layering.
Did I wear the, this on Sunday? So I'm three hoodie. Days. I only got to get to Saturday to wear it every day. I could wear something different on Sunday.
Oh, you mean every day of the week?
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. All right. You're getting into semantics there. You're kind of like do a.
I don't want to wear. I brought a bunch of other stuff
to
wear.
That's the problem. It's limiting. It's limiting all the
it's
other.
It's just
things
such a good
flash.
I'll feel like an idiot. I overpack
cool
for everything.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. But look,
what piece of clothing that you brought are you hoping you don't have to break out?
Ooh, that's a fair. I mean, rain gear probably. Like, let's
the ZR. Well, yeah. That SGS 30 works at ZeroRestriction.com, too.
With ZR got its wear in Ireland. So I'm gonna stick with my dratty layers and vests for this week, of which there are an ample styles and colors at BeDratty.com.
You know again, what? You know what I forgot to do?
What?
Forgot to get my cashmere dry cleaned.
Oh. You've been wearing that thing. It probably needs a dry clean.
Yeah,
huh?
I didn't bring it. I had it on my list of to-dos. And then my wife called me on like Friday. She's like, did you want this thing taken to the dry cleaner?
That was in an actual list or is it just in your head?
It was on a list. I created a list. Right. It was unbelievable what I accomplished with the list.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
It's amazing such a simple thing to do.
Instead, you just got thoughts bouncing around in your head. Thanks to Dratty. Again, they've been with us since the beginning. We don't want to rotate. This is a.
If you could give one golfer a to-do list, do you think would work well with a to-do list? Who would it be?
That's a good question. Huh. Let me think about that. Rory feels like the natural answer. He feels like a little bit normal, like that way. Knock stuff out. You think like somebody gets like a... I bet Peppy Peter.
I got an answer.
I bet Peppy Peter gets honey-do lists from his wife. You know, he straightens the picture frame, you know, fixes the door handle and does it with the pep that every wife would appreciate. I would imagine Peppy Peter emptying the notebook, apparently club twirling every single swing on the tournament practice area. Like, I think it might have been his first time ever at Augusta National, right? I think it might have. Somebody said, and this person not prone to hyperbole, he was twirling every single shot on the range and holding the finish. So that's our Peppy Peter. He would be the best at a to-do list. Who you got for your to-do list?
I'm leaning into, they're sponsored by somebody that I think probably thrives with people that are to-do list champions.
Who's that?
I'm going to say Pat Cantlay with his DeWalt sponsorship. Just could knock out a to-do list, you know?
Just icily moves through it in a methodical manner.
You got a squeaky door, send Pat over there to take care of it. You got a floorboard that's a little loose. You know who can handle that?
Yep.
Pat Cantlay.
You know what he'd be doing it in? It'd be Dratty Sport. He's a Dratty ambassador, and you can be too with an SGS 30.
I was hoping you were going to pick up that tie-in.
Brought it all the way home. All right. Do you want to empty the notebook a little bit more? A guy I'm down about. What?
We've only gotten two stock up, stock downs.
I was with you on Scotty. It was where I was going to go. Scotty up, Tiger down. I'm also a little bit down on Victor Hovland. Seems
very
like
down.
He's grinding through it. A lot of questions about range sessions today. You know, he says,
teachers.
You know, it hasn't been great of late. Yeah, teachers. The chipmunk is off, you know, preaching with other disciples. The entire press conference was riveting, really insightful. He was forthcoming, but it was about like how his range sessions have been tough lately. And there's been, you know, it hasn't been as good lately. I got a little nugget. I think we got a nugget on from South Florida. One such range session apparently was just Hovland. One of those clubs down there. I won't say which one.
Can we do the substantiated rumor?
Hammering balls. So this is why he stocked down. Just on the range. Apparently just laid down for 45 minutes on the range. He's just laying down, staring at the sky. I don't know if he's meditating, relaxing, frustrated, sort of disconsolate about how the way things are going on the range. But someone said they observed him just laying down on the range for some 40 minutes. At some, you know, Tony South Florida club.
I kind of like this. I like this idea.
just laying down on grass in the middle of the range while people are practicing.
I think he's just trying to get a deeper connection with the ground.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, maybe.
What's your unsubstantiated rumor of Victor down in South Florida, aside from lying down on the range?
This is an incredible story. This is like top tier stuff. So, you know, Victor recently moved from Stillwater to the Jupe
swamp,
area.
Yeah,
he is a new resident of the swamp. So he moved from Stillwater to the Jupiter area. And listen, he needs to join a club. You know, he needs to join a club. There's lots of options down there. You know, Bears Club, Medalist, all kinds of new places being built left and right. And it turns out he wanted to join Medalist. Medalist abuts another golf club, MacArthur. They're right next to each other, right down the road. They're on Highway 1 down there. You know, the Medalist is a little bit further south, and MacArthur's a little north. So he's driving. He has a meeting arranged with the club president of Medalist. So he's excited to join this club. He's excited to go in there, get a place to practice. He drives. He misses the entrance to the Medalist and drives into MacArthur. And they say, you know, we're top five player in the world shows up at MacArthur. So they say, oh, how can I help you, Victor? And he says, oh, I have a meeting to meet with the club president. So MacArthur gets the club president to come down. Club president sits and talks with Victor. They're just chatting.
Yeah.
They talk for about an hour. And the club president says, like, so how can I help you, Victor? And Victor says, well, sir, I'd like to join Medalist.
I'd like to join the Medalist Club, your club.
And the club president of MacArthur says, well, this is MacArthur.
That's great. But Medalist is down the way, and you're at MacArthur. And meanwhile, the Medalist Club presence, probably tapping his foot on the front circle or whatever, waiting to meet Victor.
Thinking Victor stood him up, what an asshole. He sets an appointment. These Diva Pro golfers never show up on time. Now, little do you know, he's down the street at MacArthur meeting with their club president, who has no clue why the top five player in the world requested to meet with him.
Well, that's wonderful, Victor.
What would you have done? Would you have asked a question earlier? I think he probably really enjoyed chatting with.
Well, yeah, it was probably thought it was like an informal sort of like get to know each other. This guy's normal. I can have a conversation with him. Seems like he'd be a great addition to our club. This, that, and the other. Before you get down to brass tacks, what can I help you with? Well, I'd like to join Medalist. Well, that's lovely sentiment. I wish you could help you with it, but you're at MacArthur. Amazing. And then I wonder what Victor's sort of what came over his face at that point. He's an interesting cat.
I would have loved. I mean,
he's an interesting cat.
It's amazing. An amazing story.
Yep.
You know, I'm happy for Victor. He's a single player.
Yep.
He got into a different dating market. You know,
yeah, a little different.
He's out of the Stillwater market. I don't know which one's better. There's probably some drawbacks to where he's going.
There could be some landmines, I would imagine. You gotta avoid in the swamp. But Stillwater, you can't be like a top five player in the world at that point. He's established. As much as you love Stillwater, be a little like you're.
Why are you getting the people of Stillwater?
I'm not getting. No, Stillwater sounds amazing. I would go to school there, but it feels like you're just gonna be a sitting duck there. You're like, extraordinarily sort of famous and successful at that point, and you're getting older. So, you want to empty the notebook? You want to keep going? Stock up? Stock down? What do you want to do? What do you want to do next?
I guess we can empty the notebook. I mean, do we hit on enough guys here? Do you want to do favorite tee times?
We got tee times. Let's get to tee times here. One of my favorites.
All right, first off, I just want to put. I feel like usually, and I don't know. I have a question for you. Do these tee times feel stacked because we haven't had the best players in the world together in a really long time?
Yeah. They feel stronger than normal.
Or do you think that the Masters has gone to a little bit more of a stacked tee time strategy when they've traditionally kind of spread the field out a bit?
I don't recall a tee time with the firepower and heft of Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy together. They also have, I think it's, is it Ludvig that's third?
Yeah.
There. They played, Rory and Ludvig, I think, played a practice round today. I don't recall them like just being that, you know, the Masters is great at sort of, they split sort of nationalities and regions of the world, and it's just, they just don't do the supergroup thing. I wouldn't say they got to supergroups here, but it just, like you said, it does feel quite stacked.
That isn't a featured group.
No, it's not. It's not.
People are going to be yelling online.
Scheffler, Rory, and Xander. Sorry, it's not Ludwig. It's Xander. So Scotty's a prohibitive favorite. Xander's like kind of the trendy pick, Xander, number two option.
Yeah,
Xander. And then you have Rory, who's, you know, that's kind of like the story A of the career slam, and everybody wants to see you. That's a power that, group.
You know, in Data Golf's rankings,
yeah,
it's 1, 2, 3.
Crazy. Really?
Yeah.
You think they just went off that?
Maybe.
Data Golf to make pairings. What's another pairing?
Who's Rahm with?
Rahm is with Fitzy and Nick Dunlap. So kind of the defending champ, reigning U.S. amateur winner, right? Or I guess, isn't that what they do usually? So, but Dunlap obviously got in an exemption off of exemption.
I got another game within the game for you.
Okay.
I feel like we're missing a little juice at this Masters.
Okay.
We don't have Mize anymore. We don't have Mize Bryson. So I'm pivoting. I'm going Ollie.
Again.
Jose Maria Olazabal versus Bryson. And I think like
Ollie's
I think
out
I,
early with Taylor Moore.
Taylor Moore and Santiago De La Fuente.
The Latin America amateur winner. Yeah. So is Ollie versus a 36 hole total, Ollie versus Bryson?
72 hole. All right. Well, I think Ollie made the cut last year.
Was it last year or the year before? Might have been he made it recently. All right, I'll go game within the game. That's a great one. If Ollie can beat Bryson, that's truly, it's a big deal for the Crushers. Big blow for the Crushers.
All right, he made it. It was 3 years ago. It's 2021.
Right. Hitting this three is wood. God. The shot tracker is amazing to watch on some.
This might be a bad one. He hasn't broke 77 in the last 2 years.
Okay.
He shot one round below 75 since 2019.
So, I mean,
I don't think it's a good
one.
We've
lost so many past champions.
I know. This is the.
Willett? You want to go Danny Willett?
No.
I mean, he's still kind of contemporary guy. I don't.
Zatch. What about Zatch?
I mean,
Zatch versus Bryson.
Let's do Zatch versus Bryson.
Who do you got?
I got for the amusement. We got to go Zatch, right? We got to stick with Zatch.
You're taking Zatch.
Yes. We have to stay with Zatch.
I got some amusing Zatch stories today.
Why?
I just was talking to somebody and they might have inner working knowledge of Zatch through the years of their life.
Yeah.
Told me as soon as I heard Zatch was the Ryder Cup captain, I told everybody I could to hammer the Europe because there's no way that he was going to lead the U.S. team.
Guys won a Masters and an Open at the Old Course. Oh, disrespect. Zatch was among my worst tee times. That's something we always do. ZJ Connors, Jasper Stubbs, who is a lively amateur option, but just when you put them together with ZJ and Connors, that's not going to be bringing them out necessarily. I like the Zatch versus Bryson game within the game, though. What's another tee time you like that you'll be watching closely?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so many good ones here. I am interested in, there's a big boy pairing, big, tall, just big fellows.
The amateurs have to be the tallest they've ever, collection of amateurs they've ever had.
I mean, Christo's 6'8". He's going to bring the average up.
They're all, but Stu, they did the picture last night. They were huge across the board. Shipley's a bigger guy. They're all huge with the amateur dinner.
Septic Tank, Phil, and Tony Finau.
I had the same one.
I mean, they're all like 6'3 or bigger.
I had the same one.
Finau, sneaky play here. Hit the ball. He's had a good track record here.
Right.
hit the ball great. I mean, he putted horrendously at Houston and finished one out. So just to, you know, put it in your pocket.
Okay. I love that. The tank plus Phil.
What about you?
I mean, we already mentioned Bryson having to go with those guys. The roller coaster group in the afternoon is can't turn away. And I don't want to bring in just a guy here or Augusta guy. Spieth, Tagala, and Ludvig is an awesome group. Entertainment-wise, I don't think you can deny it. That is a power. That is just a live wire of a group.
It's an exciting group. I wouldn't call it a super group, though.
Hey, no, separate question. We need adjust the guy rankings. What? Press conference, Spieth comes in. JT the new just a guy? Doesn't even get a press conference.
Well, why would he get a press conference?
Got a quick quotes. He got three questions. He got fewer than Pavon. He got fewer than Corey Connors. He's just kind of out there.
He's 25th in data golf rankings.
Okay.
Corey Connors is ahead of him.
I'm concerned about JT right now. I need him to come out and make his presence felt on leaderboard. I think he's in the running with the he's in the just a guy ranking. He might be.
He's got two majors.
Spieth has three. What are you talking about?
He has one within the last eight majors.
Oh, now you're just creating these arbitrary cutoffs.
Spieth became just a guy because
I don't think it's eight.
Four.
Is it eight?
4 years. Yeah, Southern Hills.
Four years ago. Okay. All right. Might be close.
Spieth became just a guy because nobody was talking about, you know, this guy hasn't really won.
You're worried about him this week.
In 4 years.
What did he sound like today on the press conference? He just, the way he talks about Augusta is.
Yeah,
and the greens
you get scared. You know, I think honestly, like one of the things, the sharpness at Augusta National does hurt Spieth.
Yeah.
That the course changes are like part of that blurred line stuff we talked about at the top is really advantageous for somebody like Spieth who can manage misses when the areas that you can miss into and chip from and make these magical pars become more difficult. It's not a good thing for Spieth. That being said, he said, I agree with him. Like last week was like a great, great week for him. Hit the ball well, made a couple mistakes, and he contended without, like he got in the mix. He got to feel it. Like dream week, I think him and Rory had great, great weeks for lead up weeks. You know, I think he's like, I did this Masters draft thing, which, you know, one amusing thing. So like this, it's like a timed pick thing. So like everybody's got times.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wrote out all my picks was so that I could send them to the commissioner. And I forgot to send him. Uh-oh. I got like a text message. I've been away from the phone. Yeah. And he's like, do you have a pick? You know? And so if you miss the pick,
you jump.
It goes to the next guy. So I had to like text him. But anyways, on my board, I had Spieth fifth.
I know. Not a guy. Not just a guy there.
An Augusta guy.
That's a fifth place. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Augusta guy.
It's a great group. That's gonna be awesome. Whenever they do get out, based off the thunderstorms, the late Thursday. What are some other groups you really like?
I got pulled out of that.
I love Keegan here. Pavon, Tyrrell Hatton.
It's kind of electric.
Temperamental.
Yeah, temperamental. I gotta ask about, you know, do you think there's gonna be any ill will with Keegan and Tyrrell?
About the ball frog.
Yeah.
I wonder why the ball frog.
Legion
spite.
13. Yeah. He left, you know, he asked for his release from the ball frogs.
I mean, this is like, remember when Westbrook and Durant finally played each other? If Durant went to the Warriors, it was pretty intense. Could this be like that, where they're out together? It's just intense.
Speaking of who, JT, this group, JT, Hideki, Zalatoris. Now, this group, I think it could be like one of those like bad mojo groups if nobody makes any putts.
Yeah.
But if one of them starts to roll putts in, then they all start making putts. It could be just like these guys like got in. They're all kind of spotty putters, dodgy putters. And all of a sudden, all these guys started making putts, and they rode the wave together.
I like that. What about Justin Rose? Rose has a bit of an ego, I would imagine. You know, the team
flying
Rose
under
stuff.
The radar.
Look who he got put with. Bruce the Ego. He's with Pepe Peter and Eric Cole, who I like. But Justin Rose got a bit of an ego. Probably like, oh boy, they put me with the two blokes named Peter and Eric. And yeah, that just feels a little off, incongruous. Justin Rose. What's another one?
I mean, just to give you, you know, he's got 14 top 25 finishes in his 18 starts at Augusta National.
Crazy. Holy cow. 16, two rookies, I think.
16 of 18 made cuts. Last year, he finished T16.
Wow. He's with two first-timers in Cole and Malnati.
Nice. Maybe they're sending a sign. He's, you know, to be fair, two of his missed cuts have been in the last 5 years.
How about Sergio going with Chris Kirk and Ryan Fox?
Well, do you want to talk about Sergio?
We can talk about Sergio.
Sergio had quite the quote today. Or great, great quote today. I love this. You know, I think like everybody's going one way. Sometimes you just got to go the other way with your takes. So he's talking. He's asked a question. Do you share the thoughts of a lot of people that the game needs to come together and unify? Or are you kind of past the point of caring about it at all? Just giving Sergio the chance to opine here. Sergio Garcia says, I think the game is in a perfect spot.
Literally no one thinks that. No one. They might think it's okay, it's fine, it's progressing.
Perfect spot.
No one. Ratings are getting just falling off a cliff. You know, sponsors are asking questions. Players are unhappy. No one would say perfect would be the word to use. But here comes Sergio, you know, waltzing
in. Spot.
Yeah, perfect.
The professional game, maybe it's a little more separated, mostly because of the media, not so much because of the players.
Record scratch. The game is separated because of the media. The media.
The media started this league, this offshoot league.
The media is not without its mistakes, criticisms, and pitfalls. But to suggest that the media suddenly picked up and dropped Bryson and Sergio and Brooks and Phil in some separate league, that the media did that, is sort of the delusion that we've come to know and expect from Sergio. It's either stupidity or delusion, but it's not based in any reality. That the media, and I get my own biases as a member of the media, but the, like, it's just point and fact, black and white. The media did not separate golf.
I mean, you know who could have separated, who might have separated golf?
What's that?
Greg Norman. The media separated golf.
Mostly because of the media.
The media started a league, partnered up with Saudi Arabia, and then offered a bunch of players lucrative contracts to come over and then talk shit about the PGA Tour. The media did all this.
Like, blame the tour. Blame the tour's bylaws. Blame Jay Monahan. Why is it separated? Why can't... Like, there's two leagues. The media didn't do that. Media is not preventing them from coming back together.
I mean, to be fair,
No, fair.
I just want to provide a little context here. I feel like Sergio has, like, so this all happened.
He played last week. He's feeling himself.
This all happened at Quick Quotes, and I'm thinking back to like the Open.
Yeah,
I think Sergio's got a couple European reporters that just hound him like a dog. It's the same guys that call him in. And it's like going to the principal's office for him. You know, I just want to.
He was just being prickly with the guys asking questions. Because later, let me
keep going on. So all he right. says, but I think the game itself is in a great spot. He then goes on to talk about like participation in the greater game.
Oh, all right.
Which is okay. Which is a good like kind of second thought on this. And then there's a follow-up question. There's a lot of water under the bridge, but when you arrive here this week, there is still a lot of tension, or still a lot of tension, or is everybody happy to see each other? So there's a follow-up question on kind of the game and okay. the tension. And he goes, and his response starts with, I mean, you guys love these things. You keep building up these things, and there's nothing. There's nothing. You guys love to kind of dig and just try and kind of make it sound like we get in
That's
the locker room and we're fighting each
no
other.
No one's done that.
And stuff like that. It's not,
not
like
golf
that.
Golf media hasn't.
At the end of the day, it's golf. We're all trying to play the best we can, and that's it.
That's just not... It's not been the case. I mean, the players are on record as saying, a lot of times I don't like that guy or criticizing each other. Like, that just has happened. It's not.
I think these guys are out to get Sergio.
Can we talk about Bryson while we're talking about togetherness? But trying to be Madeleine Albright, the great diplomat, and bring peace to our world. Negotiations are going on whether when so a live player wins or not. I think we'd all be extremely excited for happy wherever that individual is. I'm not so sure for the other side. That's for them. He's talking about the tour for them to make up their own emotional state. I guess you could say. What's he talking? From a negotiation standpoint, I don't think it'll change much, to be honest. We need to continue to talk to both players on both sides. Just show that there's a mutually beneficial ground, a peace that I hope a lot of people can start to see. So Bryson here, the great peacemaker, looking for peace. I've had visions of this for quite a long time, the visionary. You can't publicly say them, unfortunately, because you get scrutinized and criticized. And everybody throws things in certain ways to give you curveballs. He just goes and just doesn't know what he's saying.
This is why we need him back.
Putting a little English, a spitball at you. I want to be very careful and cautious because I don't know what the future of golf fully looks like. And I'm just bystander trying to play some golf and help advocate for the fans to win again. The fans, they need to win. They need to win again. What? He's just going. Curveballs, peace. The fans need to win. And people can say I've moved to one side, but I did it for my family. Everybody has their
own
prerogative.
For your family?
I mean, yeah.
He doesn't have a dog.
Does he have a dog like Matt Wolf?
He's obviously got parents.
Yes.
But he's, and I don't want to like project
citing his mom. He's like, my mom would have smacked me if I didn't take the deal. Just to provide clarity and context, I think was what he was getting at. So just looking for peace. He also suggested that he envisioned one day like an AFC, NFC, and then we get together like it's just like the NFL, and I don't know, there's a Super Bowl of golf apparently at the end. Oh, and talking about the courses he missed, Bryson just was going. So good to have him back. Courses he missed. I would love to continue to showcase my skill set around the world in different places, whether it be Shriners or Bay Hill, Mr. Nicholas's event, and TPC Las Vegas.
That's the TPC. You know what
That's
he likes?
That's Shriners, right?
You
know Summerlin model.
Summerlin model.
So we've gone through Bay Hill.
He's a noted Summerlin model fan.
We've hit Bay Hill. We had two mentions of Vegas, a memorial. He finally gets to... They've been great to me. And then he gets to shoot even Riviera. So Riviera comes way down the list.
I'm sure they're going to love that.
Shoot even Riviera is what he misses. So that's Bryson, the old, the great diplomat, just trying to bring a lasting peace to our world. And he's off with the piss bear. What else you got for quotables? Any other quotes that jump out to you after today? We've kind of hit on Rory and Victor and Tiger.
Just a
Sergio one is a stunner.
A feel good one that I really enjoyed. I just loved the way that Tiger described the property in golf at Augusta National.
Yeah.
So he talked about, he said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the quote fully pulled up here, but he said, the thing about Augusta is there's the clubhouse sits on this hill, and it sits up on this hill. And then you're playing along the hill. You're just meandering back and forth on a hillside. And I just loved the expression, the simplicity. And like, I think it's like a very illustrative quote. Like it,
the way he describes it would, if you thought about it, visualized it without knowing anything about Augusta National, meandering back and forth on a hillside, would actually do a really good job of describing how the golf course
is. So he said, we're just meandering back and forth on that hillside. Yeah. Because he's talking about the perch all the way down to 12. This is cool. That's a cool visualization. Did you like him when he was talking about the clubs? He was hitting into some of the, on his first visit with like a Stanford, that's sort crazy. Of Georgia Tech. He's, you know, not getting it to any of the crosswalks or anything like that. That was a cool quote. Can we do another history lesson quote that really jumped out to me? The great Ollie. I love when Ollie, we don't get it a lot of Ollie bestows his wisdom. He's not, you know, one for media. He talked his first time, and there was, this played well with a lot of the Dunlap and Shipley and all the other amateurs, Christo, whatever they are. These first timers have talked about how special it was, and Dunlap taking a selfie. He's like, I don't know if I'll ever be here again. I may be here at the next 20 of these. I don't know. But he's like taking a selfie. I don't even know if I'm allowed to take my phone out and take a selfie at 12. Like, it's just like nobody talks about this way at any other tournament, any other championship. And here's Ollie talking about his first time. I remember coming here in 85 as an amateur champion. I walked onto the driving range, which was then the old driving range. I had never seen grass so perfect before in my life. So I started to warm up. I hit some wedges. Again, this is a lot of the ball. The great short game wedge player, one of the best of all time. Never seen grass so perfect before in my life. So I started to warm up. I hit some wedges. And you know what? I thinned them all. I couldn't hit a divot. I was so scared of spoiling such perfect turf. Pretty cool. He talks about how when he was going to win, he couldn't eat on the morning of Sunday. We were sitting outside the locker room, and I sat there for 30 or 40 minutes without saying a word, and I didn't eat anything. He didn't talk and didn't eat for 30 or 40 minutes. And this is just one of the things, like, you and I obviously have started to develop this history of like 4 years, 5 years coming back. It's like everybody has this, whether it's you or I, it's a lot of the ball talking about being scared to take a divot because he'd never seen such perfect turf, and then not being able to eat. Like, this is what we love about the Masters, is these year over year contexts, and you get to it a little bit with that Tiger quote. And I don't know, it's just been these first 2 days, you know, they're exhausting, but you're just like appreciative to be back and get it going on Thursday. Anything else? Other quotes that jump out to you? Do you have a?
I think I'm. I got. That's it. A couple notes.
Yeah, let's rip off notes.
They had a front right pin on 14 in the practice round. Uh-huh. I don't think I ever see that in the tournament. It's freaking an awesome pin.
Yeah,
like it was like way front right on 14. I would love for them to start to use that.
Yep, that's a good one. Can I just propose? Worst group. Did we do worst group? Yeah. Do you have worst group?
We can do worst group.
Because I want to get to a note on that. I'm going to go Grayson Murray, God, Adrian Marunk, and Lee Hodges. That's a tough scene.
It's Lee Hodges.
This is my note with Lee Hodges.
Lee Hodges is maybe the most... might be up for like Build a Player of the Year award.
Enjoyed watching his 3M Open win.
Lee Hodges, I think he's like a really good player too, but he just like, I don't think he might be the hardest player in the history of the PGA Tour to pick out from like 50 yards away in a fairway.
Well, this is the note he had. He's the only player I've seen this week with his badge on, like while out on the course. Like, I get it, getting out of the parking lot to go in the clubhouse. He had a badge on, basically as a name tag to say, I'm Lee Hodges, security, show me through. I'm a player. It cracked me up walking into the clubhouse, walking into the Big Oak from the practice green or the 18th green. Says, only guy I've seen, Lee Hodges, did not pass our friend's significant other test of whether she knew the golfers. Lee Hodges
was a fun game.
So that was a good game. Hodges, that's a tough group. Marunk, Murray.
I don't want to dunk on a couple guys making their first Augusta National start, but Danny Willett, Austin Eckroat, and Steven Yeager, that's a tough group.
It's up there. That was on my list.
I also have Lucas Glover, Ben Ahn, and Harris English in the running.
I had that one in there too.
Not a lot of zip pop. I was meaning to tweet at Ben Ahn to see what his thoughts were on Augusta National because he had some inflammatory comments about the old course.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was tweeting about how overrated the old course is.
That's pretty good. I like that. Should we get to picks? We get to picks. We got a bunch of quotes.
All right,
we'll
let's go. Like who you're gonna pick?
Some dark horses. Some notes.
A couple like guys that you're thinking about beyond your pick.
I like Dustin Johnson. Got a little tip. Dustin Johnson.
Somebody talked to Paulina from season to watch. Somebody watched.
He's
episode,
here to announce who the F he is.
Episode of Full Swing from last year.
Apparently, been hitting the hell out of it at the Flow down at Floridian, playing well. We got that one. Dustin Johnson, not exactly a total, nobody.
What are the odds?
Great player, but hasn't really done anything in a major for a couple of years. Everybody's odds are pretty high.
I feel like you got to have pretty great odds. You know, this is a gambling pod. I'm surprised we don't have it pulled up on the tip of our tongue.
Another name
I mean, Dustin Johnson's 33-1. When was the last time he was 33-1 at a major? I don't love it. I think Bryson is an interesting storyline, just in general.
Par 67.
Like, is this guy going to figure it out? He played pretty well in the majors last year.
He did.
He wasn't irrelevant.
Not the Masters, though.
Not the Masters. Like, it's hard to tell, like, where he fits in terms of, like, what did he win on the PGA Tour? 8 times?
A lot. Yeah.
9 times?
Sure.
Bunch of playoff, like, big events, the U.S. Open, he's got one major. Like, generationally, he is a significant player.
Yes.
He might be the best player that's the worst ever at Augusta. Like, is he the best player that's just, like, downright awful at Augusta, or is that going to turn around? Like, I kind of have faith that Bryson might figure it out at some point.
He got that T21 low amateur.
I think his YouTube stuff, like the one club stuff, is going to help him this week. I know that's a preposterous
take.
Did he
just do a YouTube video where he inadvertently argued for a rollback?
The experimentation stuff and like having to hit shots is going to help him.
I love him. I miss him. He's, you know, the quotes about peace, and he's got the solar eclipse glasses on, and he's just walking around. I miss the guy. I need him to get involved, and he needs to be brought back to quick quotes this week. That's a good one. Hideki's a pick. Hideki.
Cantlay is 28-1.
There's guys that are just way down the board. This is part of the Scheffler issue. He's clearly the best player in the world. This isn't like a debate. Rahm would have some sort of contention for that. But
I feel like Rahm is the guy that just is nobody's talking about. He's a defending champion. Yeah. He played well last week, and it's just like, is this the guy that we're going to, on Sunday, be like, well, it's stupid that nobody really, like, nobody's talking about him.
He's 12-1. Rory and he are 12-1, I see, and Scheffler's 9-2. So, there's so many betting picks. Tiger's 150-1. Jeez, Bryson's 35. I like Hideki. I think Hideki is like clearly streaking towards potentially a second jacket. He's like 20-1. That's not a super long shot or anything like that, but a guy that gets kind of left, gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. I think he's clearly sort of targeting or aimed pretty squarely at a top 10 or a top 5 when he's playing. You have any other kind of off the board?
I don't love Wyndham. I've been thinking about it a lot. And
a lot of people didn't like
Wyndham's
shirt today. That was a bit of catnip.
How bad is Spieth? So we want to talk about just a guy. These fits that he's pulling out.
Well, they dress him like a little boy. I've always said this. Every
the
suburban
Monday,
Under
what
Armour.
What was worse, Monday or Tuesday?
Monday was bad. Yesterday was bad. It was a black hat, black pants.
And like,
it's not cold out.
It wasn't a royal shirt, but it was like somewhere between like royal and navy.
But it was print. There was a prince, and it was
God.
Flowers.
It was bad.
It was not good.
Is it honestly maybe the worst outfit I've ever seen a pro golfer in?
It was up there. Well, let's give the Fireball some credit on that one. Come on. He's not looked good scripting wise. Wyndham, why are you worried about Wyndham?
I think when Wyndham, his like kind of like go-to shot, we saw it on 18 at LACC, is that like it's a big fade.
Uh-huh.
And there's just some tee shots if you're feeling it. Like, I'm not saying he can't hit a straight ball. I'm not saying that.
I think he has to make really good swings to hit them. Like, it's not something that comes out a lot. Like, that's not what he wants to do. And he's playing this golf course. He's playing exceptionally great, but he's playing this golf course too. He has to hit it straight or turn it over. Think about like five. That's not an easy hole to hit a big fade. Like, you kind of have to hit it straight.
We just saw him do this in the last round of the Players. Like, he kind of lost a few balls right. More than a few.
So then you go to 10, you go to 13, you go to 15, you go to 14. That fairway becomes tiny if the ball's fading, big fading. You know, the ball, you go to 18 is a great fade hole. But 7, like, it just becomes like this thing where that, or 9's another one,
yeah,
where you just like that big wipe fade is like just a hard. Even though it goes far, it's not like a wipe in the sense, but like, it is hit hard, it's going far, but it's spinning right a lot. Yeah. I'm not crazy about him as a first timer. I know he's playing great.
Really unique aspect of this Masters is two bona fide first time studs. First timers are usually, you know, really young guy who you wouldn't necessarily put in the top 10 player in the world, whereas we have Ludwig and Wyndham Clark here. Like, it's a unique aspect this year. Two guys who you might pick to win another major this year, but not, maybe not the Masters, as first timers. So
my pick, I guess I'm going to go with Rahm. I like can't believe I'm not picking Scheffler, but I just feel like I got a zig. This has been
zig with Rahm. This was just a massive zig.
I was sitting in the media center. Everybody in the media center so out on Rory's chances, the contrarian in me was like, you know what? Maybe I'll pick Rory and be the guy that the one guy that said Rory's going to win.
Tiger pretty clearly said he will win. It is happening. It's not a rare win.
Hold on. I do want to push back, and I know I used this quote in an article in our newsletter, but I want to push back. Somebody asked Tiger that. What's he supposed to say?
I agree.
I mean, the guys are friends. Yeah. I don't think he's got it. Like, can you imagine? Like, who? If you asked Tiger if
Tiger's Brian, a diplomatic Brian, guy, too.
If Brian Harmon was going to win, he'd be like, win one of these. I mean, you saw what he did at the Open. I mean, it's just a matter of time before he gets one of these.
There's probably a line he could walk, but yes, he just was saying, like, he's supporting Rory there.
What player in the top 10 would he say, no, he doesn't have it? Like, the question was, is Rory going to complete the Grand Slam?
Yeah. No, that'd be good. That's yes. There's no risk to saying he will. Right? For him, it's like, it's just like, yeah, he's going to, basically, is what he's.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, oh well. Like, it doesn't mean anything to Tiger. So, your pick is Rahm.
Do you think Rory finishes in the top 10 or worse than the top 10?
I think he finishes in the top 10. I think we've seen him play major championship golf for 15 years now. He finishes in the top 10 a lot. He didn't finish in the top 10 here last year.
Seven of the last 8 times he's played a major, he's in the top 10.
You're asking me the top 10? I think he finished. I think he's, whatever approach he's doing this year, I'm not saying it's the one or whatever.
Can we start naming the approaches?
There's the juggling.
There's the Summerlin model. So there's the Roteller model was last year. Could be this one?
I mean,
this is the counter, the misdirection.
The misdirection. Show up late, be quiet, move in and out, get the hell out of Dodge. You know,
is this a play action?
This is the scarcity model. Just make yourself scarce, not around.
The scarcity model is a good model.
It might be.
You know what? Like, if you do less than you think in all activities in life, I think you probably come out ahead.
Which speaks that we're way past the minute mark. Scarce on this.
We are.
On this, but it's the brevity, Masters preview.
Brevity's the key to our podcast.
I'm going with Scheffler. I don't need to elaborate on it. I would have picked UConn to win the national title, South Carolina to win the women's, and picking Scottie Scheffler in a week of favorites. I think, you know, he's demonstrated he's very far and away the best player in the world. Has figured out how to play this course, figured out how to play every course. And I think it's silly. Do I think... you know, do I think, would I be surprised if he didn't win? Of course not. But I think it's a little silly to pick against him. We're not going based off odds or value or anything like that. He should be your pick to win.
I think I would take dark horse. I would
throw one more in there.
I would
for
go
us.
Christo to make the cut.
Does Victor find the right golf course for his first round tee time, or does he go to ACC? And the club president has to say, "Well, Victor, you're off one."
Hey, do you think our unsubstantiated rumor is going to come true tomorrow morning?
What's that?
The Forest Hills.
Fred Ridley's press conference?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the kind of rumors that fly around. They're buying this.
I'm hearing more.
Yeah. It seems like it's trending that way, but who knows? They're going to announce that they're buying and renovating Forest Hills, the Ross course in Augusta.
Pepe Peter, make cut or miss cut?
Pepe Peter is missing the cut. I would love him to make the cut. I don't see that happening for this first time.
One more game within the game.
Okay.
Two more, actually. Ready for him?
Yeah.
Pavone versus Pepe Peter.
That's a good one. Pavone. I'm going with Pavone.
All right, I'll take Pepe Peter.
Shortest drive of the week, Ollie or Weir?
I'm taking Ollie. Weir's got pop now.
Look at how come. Oh, he is doing a little bit of speed, isn't he?
Yeah.
Your President's Cup captain, Mike Weir.
All right. Last one.
We're on the ground, by the way. We're doing the Lord's work, advocating hard for Toasty to be on the President's Cup team.
Yes.
Not with Mike Weir himself, but
people
who might have a line to it. All right.
Last one.
What?
Last one. We'll call this the Bad Boys.
Oh, God. Who's that?
Thunder Bear versus Bryson, or versus Grayson. Piss Bear versus Grayson Murray.
I like Grayson. I think Grayson's a very talented player who seems to have calmed down a little bit.
I think if I remember correctly, Thorbjørn had like a top 10 or something.
Are you
Thorbjørn.
Confusing your Danes, Søren Kjeldsen?
No, I'm almost positive that that Thorbjørn has like a good Masters record and he's in form. I love it. That might be a good top 10 bet right there.
There you go. Do you have a Charlie Hoffman, honorary Charlie Hoffman nominee for Thursday leaderboard?
Corey Connors. Corey Connors. That just
could be
screams.
Soft there for a bit on Thursday. You go out and make some birdies on a softer.
Hey, Thunder Bear, three appearances: 2013 T6, 2014 T44, 2019 T21.
So probably better take him than Grayson.
Has never missed a cut.
Okay, all right.
That does it.
All right,
we got. I think we hit on everything.
No, we didn't. We have notes for days. We'll have our daily podcast coming from fueled by Good Walk Coffee. You can use the shotgun promo there. We've got coffee for days.
What's it,
here.
Shotgun? Just shotgun.
Yep. Goodwalkcoffee.com. 20%
off.
You get 20% off. You also get 10% off regularly if you're a subscriber. We have it stocked up for the week. We'll be fueled all week with that. The daily podcasts are coming. We got plenty of notes to get through for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Go ahead.
How about we ship anybody that's a subscriber to Good Walk? We'll ship you a little care package of gear. Okay. We'll pick one subscriber.
Any
subscriber to our coffee blend at Good Walk. This is on the fly promo.
Someone responsible for the financial health of this operation is across the room with his head in his hands right now. As you almost committed to giving everyone a care package of merch for
any
subscribing.
So if we're going to select one subscriber and we're going to send you. We'll value it at like $300 a gear.
Okay. One subscriber and maybe.
And we'll do it at the end of the week. So you got all week. Subscribers have a chance to win.
Goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. There's two blends. We will be back with you Thursday after the first round. Maybe a supplemental Wednesday. We might have a Wednesday night episode.
Might have a Wednesday.
From the Draddy House.
Yeah.
Talk to you then.